This week, we learn Parshas Ekev. We'll look into one practice and one pshat, as we have the last number of weeks. I know it's been somewhat erratic due to Tisha B'Av being last week. We met early in the week. In any event, Parshas Ekev contains, towards the beginning, the mitzvah of Birchas HaMazon. The Torah says, V'chalta v'savata v'rechta shishmalkecha al arz ha'tov ha'shem nosam loch, that when a person eats and is satiated, so he has to say a bracha. And that pasuk, of course, is quoted in benching, right? Karkosov in the second bracha, Vechalta v'savata v'rechta shmalkecha al arz ha'tov ha'shem nosam. The pasuk appears in benching, and that is the makor for requiring us to say a bracha after benching, after eating. Generally speaking, we assume that all of the brachas that we recite on a regular basis throughout the year, before eating or before performing a mitzvah or on something relating to nature, thunder and lightning and so on and so forth, those are the category of Darbanan. The mitzvah is Darbanan. We don't find anywhere that the Torah requires us to say a bracha on anything, not on food, not on a mitzvah, and not on something that we witness as part of nature and so on. We assume that the requirement to say a bracha is a mitzvah midrabanan. However, birchas hamazon, after eating, is assumed to be a deraisa, because it says, v'chalta v'savata uveirachta. You satiate, you're full, and then you say a bracha. A full disclosure, some are of the opinion that reciting birchas haTorah is also deraisa, the birchas haTorah. That's a further question. Does it mean the birchas haTorah that we recite in the morning? Does it mean the birchas haTorah that we say when we get an aliyah? So some say birchas haTorah is also deraisa, but many assume no, birchas haTorah is Rabbanon as well. That's a further machlokas for a different time, Bez Hashem. But for now, Birchas HaMazon, we assume, is Doraisa. And the Gemara in Brachas of Mem Chesem and Beis learns from this pasuk the different brachas that we have as part of benching. The Gemara has the expression, is actually a question of the exact order, but the Gemara says, that's a reference to the bracha of Hazon. That's the first bracha. Birchas HaMazon begins Hazon as Olam Kolo V'Duo B'Chein B'Ches HaRachem, etc. And ends bracha to Hashem Hazon Es HaKol. That's the first bracha. So that's what's implied by the word Rachta. Es Hashem Elokecha. That, says the Gemara in the text that we have, is the bracha of Zimun, what we call benching with a mezumin. Es Hashem Elokecha. You mention the name of Hashem. Or we actually say Elokeinu when there's a minion. Which, of course, prompts the questions out of order. The Zimun is before Birchas Hazon. So the Vilna Gaon on the spot says the gear says backwards. It should say Uberachto is a reference to Birchas HaZimun. Es Hashem Elokecha is the bracha of Hazon. Okay, we don't have to go into that issue right now. Then, Es Hashem Eretz HaTova, that's the second bracha of benching, which is about Eretz Yisrael. No Delecho Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Chalav Oseinu Eretz Chemda Tova Chova. And ends Baruch Hashem Ala Eretz Ala Hazon. That's called the Birchas Eretz. That's into that, at the word Ala Eretz in the Pasuk. The words Allah Aretz and the Pasuk hint at that. And then the third bracha, Bonei Yerushalayim, that's hinted at the word HaTova. Aretz HaTova, Asher Nasalach. Tova is a reference to Yerushalayim. How in the world is Tova a reference to Yerushalayim? So the Gemara explains, based on a Pasuk in last week's Sedra, in Parashas Veschanan, it says, Hahar HaTov Hazev HaLabanon. That's a reference to Yerushalayim. So that's the third bracha of benching. So the simple reading of that Gemara would indicate that Mida Oraisa, that's how the Gemara seems to be deriving all these three brachas. You'll note, of course, there's a fourth bracha. Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokim Lachlam, Akel Avinu, Malkeinu, Adireinu, Bareinu, etc. And ends, Mikol Tuv Olam Ayich Hasreinu. That's the bracha known as the bracha of Atova Meitiv. The Gemara concludes that was actually instituted later on. That was instituted after the events relating to the city of Beitar, part of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. Many Jews were killed. It's one of the terrible tragedies that took place on Tisha B'Av. Many Jews were killed, and the Roman government wouldn't let them bury them at first. Anyway, after all that, they instituted a bracha, maybe 60 or so years after the Churban of the Second Beis Hamikdash. That bracha is assumed to be later on. But the other three brachas are hinted at, the way we assume, in the Pasuk, the bracha of Hazon, the bracha of Aretz, and the bracha of Yerushalayim. The bracha of Yerushalayim begins, Rachem, No, Shemal, Kenu, Al Yerushalayim, Echav, Al Yerushalayim, Erecho, etc. And ends Bonei Berachamah of Yerushalayim Emena. Some people say Bonei Yerushalayim Emena without the word Berachamah. That's the Vilna Gaon preferred. Anyway, that's the third bracha. So the simple reading is that those three brachas are all Doraisa. That doesn't mean the text is Doraisa. Right? That we don't. It doesn't mean the exact text is Doraisa. It means the concept of mentioning these things in benching is a Doraisa concept, and to mention them, as we assume right now, in the form of a bracha. So those are the three principal brachas of benching. The question is, Rashi actually seems to imply, And other Rishonim, so discussion Rishonim, that actually really only the first bracha is Doraisa. The other brachas are not, and the Gemara is just giving a remez. Gemara is an asmachta. The Gemara has a hint to different things based on the pasuk, but really the bracha is the mitzvah of benching requires really only the first bracha, ending Hazonat Sakol. Only the first bracha is Doraisa. One of the proofs that these Rishonim bring is from the fact that the Gemara discusses the practice of Poalim, and workers. People are hired to do a job. So let's say today, even in the United States, you're hired to do a job. So you have to be at work from 9 to 5. But the person is entitled, I think this was in the FDR administration, to have a certain amount of time for lunch. Right? A person has to eat during the day. A person has to take care of other things. So built into the workday, you can't dock the person pay because he went to go eat lunch for X number of minutes and so on. So this is built into the system. So the halacha has the same concern. If a person is hired to do a job, we assume that the balabayas, the employer, is hiring you, is paying you to do a proper job. Right, and not paying you to daven mincha, he's not paying you to bench, so it's not fair. A person's gets paid by the hour, let's say, he's paid to do the job, he's a day jobber, and as opposed to somebody who's hired to complete a particular task, a person being paid for the day. So now he's going to go out, he's going to disappear, and he's going to daven a long mincha, or he comes early in the morning, he's going to disappear and daven chakras an hour. It's not fair to the employer that he should have to pay for that hour. So that's a question of what exactly. Is the employer, the Jewish employer, allowed to or required to pay for that the employee takes a few minutes out to daven at the bench? So when it's talking about benching, he is allowed to bench, of course, but the Gemara points out that the benching should be abridged. The benching of the poalim is abridged. The first bracha is left intact. But actually the second and third bracha, the Gemara points out, and brachas are combined. They're abridged into one bracha. So it'll be shorter. The poalim, the day workers, they have to shorten their benching so as not to steal time from the employer. So they have this kind of a bridge version, combining brachas number 2 and 3 into one. So from here, some Rishonim assume that since you see that the second and third bracha are subject to, the tinkering, so to speak, and they can abridge it for the poalim, that indicates that really only the first bracha is the right, the others are the Rabbanan. And the Rabbanan didn't impose the requirement to say these other brachas for a person who's a worker, and therefore they built in this leniency to allow the workers to say the bracha, but an abridged version suffices. This is how some Rishonim learn. On the other hand, the other Rishonim seem to learn that no, really all three brachas are required. For example, there's a discussion, what happens if a person, we all have benchers, we probably have too many benchers in our house, but a person needs a bencher, so you've been to this bar mitzvah, that chasana, this shavu brachas, that bas mitzvah, whatever, so everyone's got tons of benchers in the house, so we can bench out of a bencher, but at one time people didn't have benchers, people didn't have siddurim, there was no printing, so you had to know the brachas by heart. So the truth is, by benching, like by all other mitzvahs, many other mitzvahs anyway, it's okay if a person says the bracha, one person knows it by heart, he'll say it to the other people who listen, they'll be yotzei through the mechanism known as shomaya ka'one. The people will listen, and will answer amen to the brachas, and they'll have in mind to be yotzei, and the person who's reciting the bracha will have in mind to be motzi them. It can be yotzei that way in benching. As a matter of fact, it looks in the Shulchan Aruch like that's really what's meant when we bench with a mezumen. The idea of benching with a mezumen is that the person who's the mezamen, by many of us, he just says a few sentences at the beginning, Rabbi Sain of Areich, and then everyone benches to themselves. But the proper thing, according to many, and certainly that's the way it's done by the Sfardim, because that's a simple reading of the Shulchan Aruch based on the Rambam, is that the person who's the mezamen actually recites the whole benching out loud. And you don't really have to say it yourself. We do say it to ourselves as well. But that's what some felt, that even among Ashkenazim, Rav Soloveitchik is said to have felt that way, that the mezamen should say the whole text of the benching out loud. All the three brachas plus the fourth bracha till Olam HaAsrenu. All the harachamans that we add at the end, those are just added on. That you don't have to, it's not really technically part of benching in the full sense. So therefore that, you don't have to say out loud. But the rest of the benching we said out loud, even though the rest of the people at the table are saying it to themselves, nonetheless, the benching of the mezumen means that the mezamen says the whole bracha out loud. Anyway, the Rishonim, all three brachas out loud, and the fourth one, that's the Rabbanan. But the question is, sometimes, you have a group of people benching together. One guy knows the first bracha, the other guy knows the second bracha, the third guy knows the third bracha. So strictly speaking, you can switch off. You can switch off. Okay, forget about benching on the mezumen right now. I know the first bracha by heart. I'll say that and you'll listen. Then you say the second bracha aloud because you know that one by heart. I don't. I'll listen. So you're allowed to do that. So the Gemara says that this trick works, but only because of Shomaya Ka'ona. only because of Shomei Ka'ona. The implication there is that all the brachas are of the same standing. That, you know, if you didn't need to say the second, third bracha anyway, deraisa, so what are we worried about? You don't know it, right? So you don't know, it's only the Rabbanan anyway. Again, we fulfill the Rabbanans too, but since you don't know it, you just go to the deraisa. Why does the Gemara make a fuss and say, you know, let somebody who knows it say it out loud and so on? Why do you do it that way? Just say you the bracha is deraisa, I get, but the rest, if someone doesn't know it, so you can't do the Rabbanan. Okay, you're part of the implication that Gemara is and no, all the brachas are doraisa. So that's an interesting machlokas Rishonim. But there's an interesting question which emerges. According to those Rishonim, will hold that only the first brachas doraisa. So the Gemara says on that same dafan brachas that I quoted before, Mem Ches and Abeis, the Gemara says that whoever doesn't incorporate certain things into benching is not yotze. And the thing the Gemara mentioned, for example, bris. You have to mention bris in benching. We do. Al brischa shechasam to bisarenu. You also have to mention Torah. Well, Torah so shumaratano. For whatever the reason, that has to be part of benching as well. And the Gemara says, whoever did not say that is not Yotze's obligation. Same thing, you also have to mention Eretz Chemda Tova Rechova, praising Eretz Yisrael. It says if you don't say these things, you're not Yotze benching. So we could ask, wait a second, but those things are not in the first bracha. Those things are in the second and third bracha. So what in the second bracha, really? So if the second bracha is not required Doraisa, why would they use a Lashon, you're not Yotze? So it could mean, that means you're not Yotze Darabonin. But it's a little hard. It sounds like you're not Yotze benching at all. And one could argue why. If really only the first bracha is Doraisa anyway. So at least Yotze Doraisa. Why would the Gemara use an expression that you're not Yotze at all? You're not Yotze benching at all if you didn't mention these things. What do you mean? I should be Al-Kloponim. I should be Yotze the Doraisa. So the number of different answers to that question. And some of them touch on other things that we're familiar with. But sometimes when the Gemara says you're not Yotze, it doesn't mean that you're not Yotze at all. It just means you're not Yotze in the proper fashion. You're not Yotze in the fullest fashion. Not Yotze in the fullest fashion. Some of you remember that the Gemara sometimes, the Gemara Brachas, for example, the Gemara says that there's a machlokas, whether when it says that regarding Kriyashma, we have the second parsha of Kriyashma, this week's Seder too, right? When it says, B'shoch b'chov kumecha, so there's one opinion, the opinion of Beis Shammai was that it's not only telling you the time of day, it's telling you the posture that you have to be in when you say Kriya Shema. B'shoch b'chol means you got to be reclining when you recline. And b'kumecha means you were standing up. And we pass like Beis Hillel, you don't have to be. We say Beis Hillel, but left over there, whatever position you're in. Okay, it doesn't, the posture doesn't matter. You don't have to be standing, you have to be sitting either way. But the Gemara records that Reb Tarfon once went ahead and he was makbid to follow the Shita of Beis Shammai, so he reclined, and then he got into trouble with the bandits on the road and so on because he was busy reclining. And then when he told it over in the Beis Medrash, the other Talmud said, "Oh, you deserved it because you went against the ruling of Beis Hillel." What do you mean he went against the ruling of Beis Hillel? Didn't go against it. Beis Hillel didn't say you're not allowed to recline. Right, when Beis Hillel says B'shoch B'cha means the time of day when people go to sleep in the evening, doesn't mean you're not allowed to recline. It just says you don't have to recline. Doesn't mean you're not allowed to. What's so terrible? You're not mekayim the mitzvah. You're not mekayim the mitzvah if you do it like Beis Shammai. What does it mean? So the answer is no, you're not mekayim the mitzvah in the proper fashion. The Ritva has such a similar concept regarding an interesting statement regarding sukkah. There's a question about schach, and I won't go into details now, but also machlokas Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So the Gemara says that if you did built a sukkah in a certain way, which would not, in accordance with the view of Beis Hillel, so it says, Lo kiyamtas mitzvah sukkah miyamecha. You will never fulfill the mitzvah sukkah. What do you mean? The whole requirement is only drabona. For example, the Gemara talks there, not about the schach, but another place the Gemara talks about how much at a table, you know, let's say you have a tiny sukkah. I once saw someone with a tiny sukkah. It was such a small sukkah that he had it like on his porch outside his kitchen door. Half the table was inside. The wife sat inside, just in a couple, husband and wife. Husband was sitting outside, the wife was sitting inside. So the Gemara says most of the table has to be outside also. You can't have the table inside because the table's inside. You know, you may be sitting outside, but you'll reach in, you'll eat something, you'll grab something off the table and so on. But again, that seems to be a drabbanan concern. So why would the Gemara have an expression, not yotze? So it means you're not yotze karo'o, you're not yotze in the proper fashion. So maybe that's what it means here also. Well, we have another famous statement. We're familiar with the statement from the Haggadah on Pesach. It says, whoever doesn't say these three things in the Leil Pesach is lo yotze de chovaso. Pesach matzah mor. Remember that's Rabbi Gamliel. It's a Mishnah Pesachim, but it's in the Haggadah too. Rabbi Gamliel says, kol shel omer shor shel omer elu Pesach lo yotze de chovaso elahein Pesach matzah mor. He's explained what each of these three is in here. Pesach matzah mor. What does it mean? You're not yotze. You're not. First, as a further question, you're not yotze what? Okay, you're not yotze what? So something that means you're not yotze the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. Then on Pesach night we have to relate the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So if you don't mention Pesach Matzah Mor, so that means you didn't do much of a job telling over the story. You didn't mention. You told Sipri Yetzias. You didn't mention HaKadosh Baruch Hu passed over our houses. You didn't mention that we had no time for the bread to rise, so we had matzah. You didn't mention that the Egyptians embittered our lives. So that means you're not yotze the mitzvah of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim. You left out major parts of the story. Okay. You know, that I understand. But many Rishonim learn when it says, so it's not talking about Tzipri Yetzias Mitzrayim, but rather it's talking about the mitzvah of Pesach, the days of the Beis HaMikdash. You have to, when you eat the Korban Pesach, not just to eat the meat, but you have to tell over what Pesach means. When you eat the matzah, you're not yotze, but just eating the matzah. Maybe you had a whole 3 pounds of matzah. It doesn't matter. You're not yotze, or whatever, more. You're not yotze, unless you tell and explain what does it mean, Pesach matzah more. So that's a question also. You're not yotze, really? The Torah says to eat matzahs. I did eat matzah. I ate all the shirim. I had the 5 kazesim, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, and I had the biggest kazesim. I ate everything. Now you can tell me I'm not yotze just because I didn't mention Pesach matzah more. So again, the ritual on that same mission in Pesachim, which is in the Haggadah, says, no, lo yotze mitzvahs matzah karoi. You're not yotze the mitzvah in the proper fashion. So that's what it could mean over here also, that only the first bracha is doraisa. The first bracha of benching is doraisa. And the rest of it, Drabonon, and when it says you're not Yotze, if you didn't say Bris and Torah and these other things, it means you're not Yotze in the proper fashion. But strictly speaking, you can be Yotze the benching by just the first bracha, the bracha of Hazon, on a Doraisa level. Of course, we're observing Jews, so we observe the Drabonon as well, but there's just an insight into trying to understand when we say that Birchas HaMazon is Doraisa, what exactly is Doraisa? Just like we discussed last week regarding Kriyashma, what's Doraisa? The first Pasuk, the first paragraph, the first 2 paragraphs, all 3 paragraphs. So similar machlokas exist regarding Birchas HaMazon. Just a segue into the section. It's interesting, we always put a pause. Right, that's the end. That's the end of Sheni. That's the first end of the first Aliyah. The beginning of Sheni. That's the end of the first Aliyah that we've been reading on Monday and Thursday. We read on Shabbos and so on. We end right over there. But the Torah goes on after that. The Torah goes on and tells us not to forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? It says that actually a couple of times. We shouldn't forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's someone who kind of make a link because the Psukim appear, even though we have an Aliyah stop, right? It's the end of the end of the Aliyah, but in the Torah, the Psukim go on. And therefore, there's a suggestion that the benching is something which enables us to remember our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And if you don't bench properly, then you're a violation, so to speak, of this mitzvah, this iser, to forget our Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that was a segue into the discussion. What exactly does it mean to forget about our Kadosh Baruch Hu? And why does the Torah repeat it? The Torah at least twice in this section. You know, the Seder begins, V'haya Ekev Tishmu'un. Ekev Tishmu'un means, if you will listen. If you will listen to the mitzvahs. V'haya Ekev Tishmu'un. If you will listen to the mitzvahs and so on, then X, Y, and Z, all these good things and so on. It doesn't come till much later, till after Sheni, when it says, Ekev Lo Tishmu'un. If you don't listen, right? They don't listen, it's no good. And the idea is, one of the ideas, it says in a couple of times, you're not allowed to forget Hashem, not allowed to forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What does that mean, forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So it seems to me that we could suggest, there are 2 types of forgetting. Maybe that's why I want to suggest that it says it twice, because it's really hammering home these two different types of forgetting. Sometimes a person forgets something because he doesn't consider it important to remember. Right? Let's say you had to memorize a phone number for a minute. You had to call somebody back. Right? So you memorize the phone number. The person told the other end, so I told you the phone number. Okay, you memorize it and you call them back. Okay, but half an hour later, or certainly a day or 2 later, when you're not required to remember it, and we don't need it anymore, you forgot about it because it's not important anymore. Right? You don't need to remember that phone number. It's not important. Okay, so sometimes a person forgets something because he basically dismisses it from his mind. Doesn't need it anymore. Doesn't need the information anymore. remember I used to know a lot of people's phone numbers by heart. And now the many people's, when I was a kid, I knew all the kids in my class phone numbers by heart and so on and so forth. The ones I called regularly. Now I don't remember. I have nothing to do with any of some of those. Some of the kids, Baruch Hashem, still friends with. But many of the people, we all went our different ways. So I don't remember their phone numbers anymore. Okay, because it's not relevant. I never thought about it. Didn't make a lasting impression. I didn't need it to make a lasting impression. Certain things you remember all the time. People remember their social security number, whatever that you have to fill in very often. But one type of forgetting, therefore, is to dismiss something from your mind because it's not important, right? So certainly that's one thing that's meant by the prohibition to forget about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Means don't remove a Kadosh Baruch Hu from your mind. Don't dismiss him from your mind as unimportant. A Kadosh Baruch Hu has to be important. You have to work on remembering. Sometimes you have to commit things to memory, right? The phone number is one thing, but sometimes you have to memorize other facts and so on because it's important and you need to have it at all times. So one prohibition to forget about a Kadosh Baruch Hu is to forget a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're not allowed to forget him by dismissing him as something not important, Chas v'Shalom. That's one type of forgetting. But then there's another type of forgetting where it's not that a person doesn't consider it's important, but rather because you need to forget it in order to go on. You need to put it out of your mind, okay, not because it's unimportant. It is important, and you acknowledge its importance, but you can't harp on this. Rachmana Litzlan, when somebody loses a relative. So the Gemara has an expression, meis nishtakach min alev. After a year, the person forgets about the mate. You forget. It's not true. You don't forget about the person. This was your parent. This was a loved one or whatever, a close friend, whatever. You don't forget about the person. What it means is you learn to navigate life without that person. I remember when I was sitting shiva many years ago after my mother, Lashon, passed away. So somebody came to pay shiva call and he told me a very interesting mashal, which I thought was very good. And I've said it over in his name, actually, to other Avelim over the years. He said, you never really get used to that person not being here anymore. You never really get used to it. What you do is you get used to working around it. He said, it's like in the middle of the road, you have a big hole, the big hole in the road. So after a while, you get used to driving around the hole, right? You know that it's there, that the hole didn't disappear. The hole's still there. It never appeared, right? So I know when I have to drive, so for a few weeks, for a few months, whatever, it's a pain in the neck. I have to drive around to avoid having my car fall into the hole. After a while, I get used to it. I don't think twice about it, right? Not that the hole's not there anymore. The hole's there, okay, but I just don't think about it. I thought it was an interesting mashal, right? There's a hole in the heart. There's a hole in your feelings and your emotions when you lose somebody. The hole doesn't go away. The person's still not here. The hole's still there, but you've learned. We learned. You have to learn to be able to navigate it, to go around the hole, right? The person's not there anymore, so I can't just, there are people with a certain, not sure what it's called, but there's a certain, a certain mental condition that they're not able to forget anything. They kind of relive every experience as if it just happened, right? They relive everything, every experience as if it just happened. That's a tragic state to be in, right? Because, you don't get over the sadness. It's always like it's new. Right, one of the things, and halacha, when we speak about, the shiva and the shloshim and the yud beis chodesh and so on, it's a cathartic experience, so to speak, to bring a person back. He's got to go on in life. It brings the person back. So you forget, not because it's not important, but you forget because you want to navigate life without thinking about that too much, right? Otherwise, it's going to slow you down. So that's a different type of forgetting. We always are very, jealous, some of us, of people who have a wonderful memory. They seem to be able to remember everything. And it is wonderful, when you're in school, there's a kid who has a photographic memory. He has, you memorize all these facts and all these numbers and formulas and whatever else. And, you're struggling. I'm struggling to figure it out. I don't remember exactly. It's so hard. You love to have a good memory, and it's in some ways good. It is important to have a good memory. If you're impressed, duly impressed, and correctly impressed with somebody who has a wonderful memory, and so on. But sometimes you have to forget in order to move on with life. You have to be able to put things out of your mind, not because they're not important. Not like just memorizing some person's phone number that you have to call back and now you forgot about it because it's not important anymore. No, you have to forget certain things because you need to be able to go on in life. And of course, even without getting to the morbid discussion of somebody's death, sometimes a person wrongs you, sometimes a person insults you, sometimes we have a spat with our friends, with our siblings, with our spouses. If you're always going to remember, you're going to harp on that, you're going to keep it, you're not going to go on. aren't you always going to be angry at the person? Sometimes you just have to forget it and say, you know what, forget it. Okay, I'm going to move on. So that's the other issue. You're not allowed to forget HaKadosh Baruch Hu and start navigating as if you can navigate without him. That's what the Yetzer Hara does to us. The Yetzer Hara tells us, don't think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now. Enjoy whatever it is that you're doing, right? Yeah, have a little pleasure. Live a little bit. Stop and think. If all of us would stop and think before doing every activity, that maybe this is not something HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of us, we never do an Avera. But the answer, we don't stop and think because we're enticed. This is looks so appetizing. It looks so enjoyable. It looks so, so emotionally pleasing or whatever it is that the Avera, whatever the Avera happens to be. And we do it. And we say, I'm worried about HaKadosh Baruch Hu right now. I'll worry about him another time. That's something which a person is not supposed to do. That's the other type of shikhus. So when it says in the Torah twice, and really it's more than twice, but the two key psukim, after Sheni, here in Parshas Ekev, when it speaks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we shouldn't forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's two types of forgetting. We shouldn't forget about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like that phone number, that we dismiss it because it's not important and I'm not interested in him. The other type of forgetting, where I know about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I do mitzvahs and I daven and I give stalker and I am Shomer Shabbos and I eat kashrus, but from time to time, I want to figure out how I can enjoy my life without HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm going to navigate around, and that's the Yetzer Hara tempts us to do. Oh, kind of like the hole in the road. I'll go around it, right? That you're also not allowed to do. You have to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? And it's zochor to remember HaKadosh Baruch Hu at all times. If you're able to do that, that will stay away from Averis. Many times we can't do it. To tie the things together, like we said before, that's what some say exactly what benching is supposed to do. Benching and brachas in general. And I'll just conclude by pointing out that, we have a din that emerges from a pasuk in this week's Seder as well. And Pasuk says later in Parshas Ekev, it says, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks? Mo Hashem Shoh Meima. And the Gemara has a drasha, don't read Ma, but Meya. And that's the source of saying 100 brachas a day. And the Pasuk is talking about the mitzvah of Yerushalayim. How do you fear God? Say 100 brachas a day. What is 100 brachas a day? So forget about how we add it up. The point is that every moment during the course of the day, that helps you not forget about a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I have to make a bracha when I eat. I have to make a bracha when I go to the bathroom. I have to make a bracha when I do this. I have to make a bracha when I do that. And I have to daven now. When you have regular reminders during the course of the day through brachas that a HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here, so that's a means of remembering a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Same thing with benching. I have to bench a HaKadosh Baruch Hu is here. That's the idea. So the benching helps us not forget about a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Again, the two types of shikha, the two types of forgetting, the forgetting of dismissing something that's not important, and the forgetting of trying to navigate around. Both things are forbidden. Okay, wish people a good Shabbos. The other shiur will begin in a moment, but I have to close it and re-enter. Okay, have a good Shabbos.